The title of our meditation tonight is God's line is never busy when it comes to your prayers.
Amen.
I don't like long titles, but the boss wants me to say this, so I put it in. God's line is never busy when it comes to your prayers. All of you know that one of our gigs, one of the things that our church loves to do, besides seeing people healed, is pray. Right around the corner, we're going to have a night with the King. A few weeks down the road, we're going to have another prayer chain. We love to pray.
Amen.
Recently, somebody that was present in one of the prayer chains asked me, Pastor, I am not a member of your church. Nevertheless, I have a comment. I said, I'm listening. Don't you think that you have too much prayer in your church? I said, no, actually, I don't think we pray at all. Well, I don't agree. I said, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. She said, I think it's too much prayer. I said, so if you won't be here praying, what are you going to be doing? Sitting down in front of your other God? What is 37 inches, 52 inches, 48 inches, or 72 inches, whatever the size it is? Then she asked me, why do you have to pray so much? I said, because we love to. We love to pray. We don't pray as an obligation. We don't pray because we've been told we've got to pray. We pray because we love to pray. And then I ask, are you married, ma'am? Yes, I am. So when you started with your husband, he just met you at Walmart and said, hey, babe, let's marry. And you said, yes. And then you went downtown and got married and started living together. Oh, no. Said, how did you guys? Oh, we didn't marry until 4 years later. Is that right? Why did it take so long? Well, you know, we've got to get to know each other. We've got to spend time together and talk. Then it hit her. I said, that's what we do with our God. We spend time together with Him. We have a date with the King. The ladies here have a date with the King, a night with the King. We pray because we love Him. And we want to get to know Him better. And then she asked me a few questions. And I'm thinking, seriously? Then afterwards, I thought about this and I wonder how many people in our congregation have the same kind of questions in their mind. So I went to the Lord and said, you want me to talk about this? He said, sure. And this is what the Lord gave me. When it comes to the subject of prayer, we pray because we love to pray. We pray because we love God. We pray because it's Jesus' time. And this is why I ask you to turn off your cell phones. Or if you just can't, you're going to die if you can't turn your phone off. Then put it on vibe. I sometimes wonder... Let's say Jesus is coming back tonight at 9 o'clock. And on the moment that Jesus Christ is coming, you're in church and the phone ring. Yes. Hello? Where's everybody? They're gone. Are you with me here?
Yes.
We pray because we love to pray. We pray because we love God. We pray because this is our way to express our affection. We pray because through prayer, we get intimate with God. Just like you will not get intimate with your spouse unless you talk, unless you spend time together. You can't get intimate with God if you don't spend time, quality time there is with God. So a question that I was asked is, how can I get God's attention when I'm praying? Well, it's simple. Let's go to 1 John 5:14. Here is a very simple way to get God's attention. Let's read it together. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him. So, how do I get His attention? Make sure that when you come to pray, especially if you're praying about specific subject, you will have a scripture that will back up your petition. Huh? Always have a scripture ready to present to God. Why? Because the Bible is God's will for mankind. Somebody asks, well, how can I know if it's God's will or not? Go to the Bible. I don't understand. You need a financial blessing, right? Right. So, what is the scripture? Well, you go to Ephesians 3, verse 20, that says that we are blessed far above and beyond what we can think or ask. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you come, Lord, you said on your word while you're praying that I'm supposed to be blessed far above and beyond, and I want to experience that. You bring in a scripture to God, and you are praying according to the will of God. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
You're feeling lonely. You may be among a lot of people, but yet you're feeling lonely or forsaken or forgotten. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In order to get God's attention, make sure that you're a person of the book. You come to pray, bring a scripture to back up your prayer. This will cause your prayers to be answered very quick. Why? Because you are bringing His word back to Him.
Amen.
That's one of the best prayers that you will ever do in your life. Are we together?
Yes.
Once you brought a scripture to God, specifying what you're looking for, Matthew 7:7-8 says, you want to get God's attention first, right? You brought the scripture. Then when you go to Matthew 7:7-8, it says the following. Let's read it. Ask. Seek. Knock. For everyone who asks, and he who seeks, and him who knocks, so if you got God's attention by going to prayer, bringing a verse that will back off what you're trying to ask from God, then go right ahead and start asking. And it says, whosoever asks will receive. Amen?
Amen.
Whosoever asks will receive. In another scripture, Jesus said, you don't have, to James the apostle, you don't have it because you don't ask. And when you ask for the wrong reason. Now, when you bring the word to God and you run it by the Lord, you said on your word, so and so and so and so, and I want it. So, Lord, may I have what you just quoted, the Bible say that you're going to receive it. Are we still together?
Yes.
Okay. Start believing right away that God is able to answer your prayer. I have known along these years, it's going to be January the 7th next year, it's going to be 40 years that I am in ministry. And time and over again, I've seen people coming to church I've seen people praying and praying and praying, but there's not a single evidence that they believe in what they are praying. Start believing right away. In the book of Matthew 21, verse 22, we read the following scriptures. Read it with me. And whatever things as simple as that. You got God's attention by bringing a scripture to Him. And then once you brought the scripture to remind God of His promises, start asking for that promise. And once you ask, make sure that you believe it's good as done. Without any doubt. On the moment that takes place, the Bible says that you start receiving what you're praying for. As simple as that. Now, a lot of people will go throughout their life, they will pray for 2 hours, and once they got up, they were worse than what they were before they started praying. Because there was never a conviction that they're really going to get that. One time, we had a prayer meeting, and we were praying like from 7 until midnight. And we had half a dozen of afflicted people on the services. So the whole church prayed for them. At the end of the service at midnight, someone ran for one of the afflicted and said, "Well, get ready, your blessing's on the way." And the automatic answer was, "I hope so." When you finish praying, you don't hope. When you finish praying, said, "Amen. I'm looking forward for it." This lousy word, hope. You finish praying, you don't hope so. You know so, because the God that we serve cannot lie. And if we are living in fellowship with God, if we are walking right before God, there is no way that you're going to get God's attention by quoting a scripture and that you're going to ask that He won't give it to you.
"Well, I quote the scripture, I ask, but I didn't get it."
Perhaps you didn't believe that God could do that. So how do you go about this? So if you've been suffering from a sickness, and you resolve it in your heart, tonight is my night. The Lord's going to heal me tonight. So you came to church, and you prayed for it. Amen. What's next? Go do something that you couldn't do before. But what if... There you go. Are you with me here? Go do something that you couldn't do before. Why? You're giving God something to work with.
Hallelujah.
Plain and simple. Whatever things you ask in prayer, believing... you receive. Folks, it's time for us to get out from the comfort zone and start exercising faith. Plain and simple. Why? We could fast 32 days a month. We could fast 32 days a month. The month doesn't have 32 days. Just to say, you can fast the whole month. You can pray the whole month while you're fasting. But if there is not a disposition to believe that you're going to get what you're fasting and praying for, you wasted your time. Well, not really. You may lose a couple of pounds. That's the big benefit. But prayer-wise, there's got to be a disposition in our hearts. I prayed, I believe it, I'm going to get it.
Amen.
End of story. There's no way around this. Give God something to work with. Amen?
Amen.
Another thing that will help is may your requests line up with His ideal for you. When we go to the book of 1 John 5:15, we learn the following. Would you care to read it with me? And if we know that He hears us, what have we asked?
We know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him.
So what you're saying, preacher? Well, you know, it's time to stop goofing around, start believing, and make requests that will line up with God's desire for our lives. If we know that He hears us, what He does, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him. God is not a bad God. God is a good God. Jesus said, if you bunch of idiots know to give good stuff to your children, He told the Pharisees, much more your Heavenly Father. So God is willing to bless His people, but it's like He said, come on, give me a break. Give me something to work with. You ask God something, you start believing. I told you when we were about to finish here, or when we finished the building here 2 years ago, the Lord appeared to me in a vision in that very office. The Lord said, now that you finish my house, I'm going to give you a house. Yes! As soon as I finished my prayer time here, we went straight to Home Goods. And I bought a rug that say Home Sweet Home. I think the cashier asked, changing the rug? I said, no, this is for the house that the Lord is going to give me. What? You don't have a house, not for this. But the Lord told me He's going to give me a house. So I'm already buying the rugs. Marcia got excited and she bought a new comforter, right? Comforts? Pillows and the whole nine yards. For the house, we didn't have it. But you know what? I'm giving God something to work with. You said, I'm going to have a house. I bought the carpet. She bought the pillows. She bought the comforters and whatnot. And we went straight to Home Depot. Was it home? No, Best Buy. She said, I want the biggest wash machine you can find. So let's go looking for wash machine. We saw it, we spotted. I paid for the wash machine and the dishwasher. Now, it may sound crazy to you, but you know what? If I know that God is going to hear me in whatever I ask, I know that I have the petition that I ask Him. Now I'm going to give God something to work with. Amen. And I think, well, these guys are good. Come on, give them the house. And you know what? Within a few months, I think it was 90 days, we closed in our home down the street here. Folks, God is not playing hide and seek. God is not mad at us with a stick trying to beat us up. God is a good God. I think that we should turn off that TV and spend a little bit more time with Him. You with me here? I think we should turn off that TV and spend a little bit more time with Him. James. No. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 19, tells you and I that when we have that kind of behavior, we should expect favor or the graciousness of God towards us. Read it with me. For the people shall dwell in Zion. The Lord has promised to be gracious to the sound of our cry. The Lord is promising here right now that He not only will hear our prayers, our cries, He will answer each one of them. Your God is not deaf. Tell your neighbor, our God is not deaf. God is interested in your happiness. God is interested in your well-being. And God will not gain anything whatsoever in withholding the blessings from you. Jeremiah 29:12 promises that God will listen when you and I pray. Watch this. Let's read it. Then reach out to your neighbor and say, God is ready to listen to your prayers. Isn't that great?
Yes.
I mean, nobody can say, well, this is those crazy translation. This is the King James that y'all love so much. He says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen. God is interested in your prayers. Why? Because your prayer can make a difference, not only in your life, but it can make a difference in somebody else's lives. Listen to James 5:16. Read it with me. Confess your trespasses to one another. And why? And what else? So your prayers may actually make a difference, not only in your life, but on the life of somebody else. Now we hear some goof prayers, you know, that good grief. Some people, when they will start praying, especially on the late prayer meeting, I can hear from the office. And some of them will take for 10 minutes. Only nonsense. God is looking for fervent prayers. God is looking for effective prayers. What is an effective prayer? Straight to the point.
Hallelujah.
Stop beating around the bush. Some people you even use prayer for gossip. Well, Lord, you know Sister Tash. She was at Walmart taking things and putting her pocket. Have mercy on her, Lord. You're not praying, you idiot. You're spreading up gossip. This kind of prayer don't get heard. God is looking for righteous people that to have effective prayer, fervent prayer. Put your soul on it. Go straight to the point. Hit the target. Present the scripture. Contend with God. You said, and here is the scripture, and I want it. Effective.
Amen.
Fervent prayer,
yes, Lord.
And God will heal.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, here's something else that some of you may have never heard. You could be in front of the greatest preacher, healing preacher of our time. You could be prayed for all the major healing preachers of our time and still not get healed for a simple reason. Listen to the beginning of that scripture. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. Why? Some people say, well, I already confessed to God my sins. When you confess to God your sins, you obtain forgiveness and mercy. When you confess to somebody else the sin, you get healed.
Amen.
Did y'all hear what I said?
Yes.
Isn't that what he says? Confess your trespasses to one another. It doesn't say confess your trespasses to Jesus Christ so he can pray for you and you get healed. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Many people never get healed because they will confess their sins to God, but they will not confess to another fellow man. And as a result of this, the devil is still have a foothold in their lives. They can't get healed. So what you're saying, preacher? A confessing prayer may very well be all that one may need to be healed from a disease. People who are addicted to pornography, to pornographic movies and whatnot, Soon or late, they're going to start having memory problems, which eventually will lead to dementia or Alzheimer's. There's no cure. Well, let's take some medicine to slow it down. What about calling one of the elders of the church and say, Mr. Elder, Sister Deaconess, I have a problem with pornography. There's the two of you. And I'm confessing it to you right now. Pray for me. When the prayer is done, the Bible said that that person will be healed of whatever disease that person has. What? It's what he's saying, isn't it? Confess your trespasses to one another. Then pray for one another that you may be healed. Confessing to God brings forgiveness of sin. Confessing to one another brings healing of the body. And that is done through prayer. Now, obviously, you have to either get one of the elders of the church or somebody that is balanced. Don't do that to somebody that has a loose tongue, because it's going to be worse. Now, somebody may say, well, I don't like this. I mean, I don't want to be putting out my dirty laundry out there. That's exactly what gives the devil a foothold. And I know to go through something like this is humbling. But the best of all, it makes one accountable. It makes one accountable. Because if we don't do that, you know, let's say that somebody comes and say, preacher, I have a problem with pornography. We will bind the demon of pornography, cast it out. That person now became accountable to me. The person got healed. 3 months down the road, the person had a relapse. Then got sick again with something else and can't get healed. They will have to come again to confess. You know how humiliating that is? And most people don't want to go through this. But my beloved friend, confessing prayer or the prayer of confession may very well be what one needs to be healed. I got a phone call today. Secretary got a phone call that somebody wants to talk to me. And the person wants me to pray for her. I wasn't in. I was on the field. Called the second time. My wife wants to pray for the person and end up praying for her, but she wants Pastor Santos to pray for her. Then she called the third time, all this within an hour and a half. Is the preacher in? So give me the phone. I pick up the phone. When they start talking, the Spirit fill in the blank. So I had to correct her way of thinking. I asked her, may I lead you to Christ? Oh no, I'm a Christian. I received Jesus when I was 8 years old and I'm 80 years old. So then, sweetheart, your doctrine is faulty. Christians don't have demons. They are not possessed by demons. Then I showed the scripture. I quoted the scripture. Still prayed for her. Hung up. I'm in the middle of something very important. The phone rings again, and there she is again. Can you actually lead me to Christ? I'm thinking, this is getting awkward here. As I'm thinking about this, the Lord revealed to me that she disobeyed the parents and married an unbeliever. And the guy is an atheist. And they are married for 57 years. And these 57 years has been 57 years of hell. The stress is so strong that she's losing strength in her legs. She has to have a walker to move around. It's all right. Are you ready to confess your mistake to God? She said, what you're talking about? I said, 56 years ago, in Savannah, Georgia. She goes, oh my God. Within a minute, Lord, I ask your forgiveness for disobeying my parents and my elders and marrying an unbeliever. And as a result of such, having 57 years of stress, I want you to forgive me and cleanse me from this sin. And then she threw in two other scents that I'm not going to mention here. All right, now that it's done, let me pray for you. I did that 15 seconds prayer. As soon as I said, in the name of Jesus, amen, she said, all the pain in my leg is gone.
Praise God.
I said, stand up and walk. She stood up and walked. Don't touch the walker. She said, I'm not touching the walker. I'm just walking around the house. We praise the name of the Lord. And then I gave her half a dozen of scriptures to study. She said, it's too bad that you are an hour and a half away from where I live. So God will show you a good church where you are. All that it took was a confession. Are we together? Confess your trespass. Watch this. Brother Harry, may I have the New Living Translations on this scripture here? Watch this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that
you may be healed.
The fervent and earnest prayer of the righteous produces wonderful results.
Amen.
Folks, when it comes to your prayers, God's line is never busy. He's always reachable. You never get a busy signal. It's the desire that got to be there to seek our God. When we have that earnest desire in our heart, I guarantee you that God is going to answer your prayer before you even finish praying. I'll say it again. When that earnest desire is there in your heart to pray for your God, God will get so excited about you that He's going to answer your prayers before you finish praying. Do you know that? Somebody may say, that's not in the Bible. You don't know your Bible then. Let's go to Isaiah 65:24, and I want each one of you to read it with me. Shall we read it now? And it shall come to pass that before they call, while they're praying, still speaking, can we read it again? It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, reach out to somebody and tell them, God won't wait until you finish praying. You're going to answer your prayer right away. You want to say something? May I have the NLT here, please? I will answer them before even, Say amen.
Amen.
I will answer them before they even call to me. While they're still talking about their needs, guess what? I'll go ahead and answer their prayers. This is how excited God is about answering our prayers. Now I got curious. What is the Backslider translation saying? I didn't check that. Before they call out? Before they finish speaking? Tell your neighbor, God is not deaf. So, the question then is, When should I pray? Or what is the best time for me to pray? Let me give you Psalm 55:17 that's going to tell you and I the best time to pray. Read it with me. Evening and morning. What did I do? And
cry aloud.
Why?
Amen.
So, what is the best time to pray? Evening, morning, and noon. Basically, 24/7. Evening, and morning, and at noon. I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now, the New Living Translation makes it interesting. Watch this. Morning, noon, and night. I cried out in my distress.
The Lord hears my voice.
What's the best time to pray? You can pray in the morning, it's good. You can pray at noon, it's good. You can pray in the night, it's good. Which means God is accessible at any time, 24/7. Now I got curious to find out the backslider translation. Brother Harry, at dusk, dawn, and noon. I saw deep sighs. Did I say anything else? I hope I'm getting my point across. Sometimes we get a little unrestful. I wonder if God is really listening to my prayers. If you ever came to that point, Psalms 62, verse 1 has this for you. Read it with me. Truly, my soul
silently waits for God.
Now listen to verse 5. Here goes verse 8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts before him. God is a refuge for us. Don't get unrestful or bent out of shape. God is listening. If the answer didn't come right away, wait patiently, quietly in God's presence. Wait. God is not deaf. God knows what you and I need. God knows the desires of our heart. And I'm going to wrap up tonight. We'll continue next week with the simple fact. If by any chance the thought ever occurred to you that, I don't know, seems like the more I pray, the less things happen. It doesn't seem like God is very much interested in my situation. It is a lie. That's a thought that has to be suppressed. Paul said that you should bring into captivity every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Is that correct? So if that kind of thought would ever come, that seems like God is not interested in me. Brother Harry, can you put up for me Matthew 7:11? God will never leave you hanging. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
God will never leave you hanging. Read it with me. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? God is a good God. God wants to answer your prayers. God wants to give you good things. God is interested in your happiness, in your well-being. God wants you and I to have a good life. So if we, being as evil as we may be, When our children ask for something, we know how to give good things to them. I guarantee you one thing. You can expect the best from your God. It's not playing hide and seek. So what do I do? Come to Him in prayer. Don't let prayer be that dragging thing. You know, when I am driving by myself, I'm either worshiping, the sound is cranked up, or I'm praying in my car. And how many times stop at traffic light, people stop by my side, pull down their windows. Are you okay? Yes! All right. Just checking. Well, I cannot let you in what's going on right now. It's between me and my dad. We pray because we love to pray. Not because we are commanded. We pray out of love in search of a deep relationship. Are we together so far?
Amen.
So I want to challenge you tonight. Put in some more time on your prayer time.
Hallelujah.
You will have as much of God as you put in. And we pray, I pray, Marsha pray, many of us pray, not because we really want to get things from God. I barely ask anything to God. I mean, seldom I will ask something for myself. I will ask for other people. And if I need something, I'll quote the scripture so I can get His attention. Why? God knows what I need before I ask. But I pray because I love to talk to my God. And when I quote scripture, I start talking like my God talks. Then I start thinking like my God thinks. And that helps faith to kick in. And we get effective results much, much faster. May God make each one of you a prayer warrior. God bless you.